This Week in Hockey is coming up at 6 o'clock, 6 to 8. Chris Kerber, Joey Vitale, and Alex Ferrario will be with you. Alex is with us now here in studio at 101 ESPN. Good to see you. How's all the hockey going?
It is fantastic, guys. I am doing my pre and post games nonstop and just grinding it towards the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, we hope.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You remember, though, a couple of weeks ago when you would do a four-hour radio show, and then you would go and do a West Coast pregame, and then postgame show, and then you wake up the next day and do it all over again?
Those were the days.
I mean, this vacation must be nice for you.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it so much. I am an extrovert. I like being out. I like being around people. I like working. And this has just been horrendous for me.
That would make me an introvert.
Yes, yes, probably. That's correct. Yes. Well, my wife is an introvert, and she's been at home, and I have been making her go insane because I've just been coming up with different tasks to do around the house. I've become a Home Depot man, basically. I'm just
Sebastian.
Fixing everything I can around the house.
What are you working on right now?
So I tore my basement floor up yesterday.
What kind of floor?
So it's the kind that snaps together.
Okay.
The waterproof. The really
yeah, composite
simple.
Composite?
Yeah, really simple to do. They snap together, but it was all laid down when we moved in. But the problem was we had to take it up because our basement flooded. We installed a sump pump, put it back down. When we put it back down, I kind of half-assed it, I can say that, which
yeah,
I guess no, I can. I just
here
did.
Here we are. It's our show. Why not go for it?
And there were gaps in all of the floors. So I told my wife, I said, well, screw this. I'm home all day. I'm going to fix it. So
yeah,
I went down,
the gap.
Took it all up. Mind the gap indeed.
If you really wanted to have some fun, what you should have done is tear the floor up without a plan.
And just leave it up?
Yeah, just, you know, do it and then see what happens after.
Well, I needed something to do.
Did you do the self-leveler? Like,
leveled it out.
That stuff's fantastic.
Great.
It is. And, like, you know, I put new pieces down. Some of the pieces had cracks on them. I mean, I'm, like, on my hands and knees just staring at this floor to find out. So
man stuff.
That was the first one. So that's task done. Next up, I'm taking the door off tomorrow.
So how did you learn how to do this? When I was a kid, my dad made me do that kind of stuff with him. That's why I'm capable of it. What about you?
So my dad is not hands-on. Like, he's the kind that's just like, I'm going to call people. So, but I kind of took it upon myself when my wife and I bought our house. It's like, I need to start figuring out how to do some of these things because sooner or later, I'm not going to be able to call people. I just need to fix it myself. So when we got the floor, we got it as a wedding gift from my parents. And so my wife and I and then her dad, so her father-in-law, they showed us how to put it down. So the first time we had help, but then when we pulled it up because the basement flooded, I'm like, okay, I can do this. And I did it, not the best, so I did it again, and now it's 100%. So now I feel like I'm a pro.
How about you, BT? You're a handy guy.
Yeah, well, I try, rep. Same thing. Like, well, my pop showed me how to do a bunch of stuff, and I'm fortunate enough, my father-in-law lives down the street, and you know he's there. If I'm doing a project, Greg's right there with me, helping out along the way. Trial and error, though, is a thing. And the beauty is, honestly, if you're getting into any project, even if you're not like a hands-on person, there's a YouTube video for literally
every
single freaking project that you're going to do. I had an issue a few months back with my furnace upstairs, and it's up in the attic. And I got on a YouTube video. I looked up my model, looking at videos. I got the whole side apart of it. I'm digging into stuff, change apart, bing, bang, boom. We're back at it. Like, YouTube's the best thing ever.
I took my oven apart with YouTube. Because my oven wasn't starting, and I took it apart. Like, I basically took everything out, put it back together. Still didn't work because the igniter was broken. But hey, at least I took it apart.
Yeah,
right? I took apart a 65-inch TV that had a malfunctioning chip, and I figured while I was at it, since I had it apart, I replaced the lamp too.
Smart.
Yeah, and rather than buying a new TV for a grand, I wound up paying less than $100 to fix that stuff.
It's the best way.
Used to work with a guy who didn't do anything. We called him Malfunctioning Chip.
Roger, I don't think you did.
What?
Where did you work with Malfunctioning Chip? What place was that?
Oh, we worked at the Park District. And
he
wouldn't
park?
Do any work.
What district?
Wilson Park in Granite City.
You didn't work with Malfunctioning Chip.
As creative as we called him Malfunctioning Chip.
No, you did.
Alex, what's the likelihood of hockey happening in August?
Let's do that hockey.
Let's do that hockey. I would say a slim chance. Never say never, right? But it's a slim chance because Pierre LeBrun, who's going to join us tonight on This Week in Hockey from TSN, he put out a great article today talking with just different people around the league of, you know, kind of different ways to bring the league back if it's able to resume the season. And one that was floated out there was playoffs in July and August. But the problem is, one, it's going to affect the next season if they decide to do that. Two, you have ice conditions in some areas that are just going to be terrible that I think is going to cost a lot of money for teams to try and do. So I would say there's always a chance if they really want to get this season in, but it's slim, mostly because they've made it very clear that they are not going to affect next season at all. And you play playoffs into August, you got to get the draft, you got to get free agency all squeezed in before training camp starts up in the middle of September.
Ugh.
Indeed.
But we do have plenty of hockey to talk about. There's a lot going on, and what do you have tonight? Curbs and Joey are with you for this week in hockey.
Yeah, so we got a live two-hour hockey show, guys, which is going to be fun. One, I know what we're doing is we're going to do a lot of listener engagement, so if people have questions, people want to talk Blues, they got hockey questions for Curbs, Joey, or myself, you can call in, you can text in, of course, and the Rhino Shield mic drops there as well. But we're going to talk with Keith Yandel, who's an NHL defenseman who's in the midst of this postponement as well, and he's got an Iron Man streak, guys. I think it's the longest currently in the NHL at 866 games. So Joey and I are going to talk with him a little bit about that and what's that like as a player. And of course, we're going to get into some good stories, which I'll tease you a little bit with, guys. Apparently, Keith Yandel and a couple of other Coyotes, including Joe Vitale, went skinny dipping in the beach in Florida. So
what?
That's going to be
boys will be boys.
Tuning in for sure. Pierre LeBrun, as I mentioned, is going to join us, and we're going to talk with Chris Zimmerman a little bit about the business side of what the Blues are going through right now and kind of the process of potentially having a season back up whenever that happens.
By the way, Yandel just 99 games away from the all-time record. Doug Jarvis 964, Gary Unger at 914 with the Blues, number two on the all-time consecutive games played list in the NHL.
It's incredible, and when we chatted with him, you know, he hasn't missed a game since 2005 when he played his first NHL game. It's just remarkable to think about it. And that's going from different teams, nine seasons with Arizona, two seasons in New York, and then now he's been playing with Florida for the last couple of years. To move around that much and never be sick, never be injured, it's just an amazing accomplishment.
And by the way, Jay Bouwmeester's streak that ended a couple of years ago, 767, was the ninth longest in NHL history.
That is, I mean, that's unheard of. Yeah. Really, it is. In that sport, well, to be able to do that.
Think about it. That's 10 years. That's 10 years in a row without missing a game.
Well, what's remarkable, you know, obviously these guys now, and there's so much more help, but go back to, like, when Gary Unger pulled it off, when he was inside. I mean, this guy's, one, playing with no helmet out there, and two, you know, the doctors weren't as good as they are now, so, I mean, you're still finding ways to grind through. That Ironman streak is one of the more impressive stats, I think, in hockey.
It is. We will hear from you in about 15 minutes. Thank you, Alex.
Guys, thank you so much, and props to all three of you for your Waffle House knowledge.
Well, we didn't know anything. I got them all right.
I got one right.
I got the other one.
Won it for me. I just, one out of three. If I hit 333, I'm happy.
Well, now you know.
Nobody cares about batting average, Randy.
It's true. It's
2020. For at least 3 months. Come on now.
My OBP was 333, too.
No, right, guys, thank you very much.
Would you rather coming your way as we head down the stretch of the Fast Lane next on 101 ESPN?